October 18, 1950. Scandal.
Welcome again to Ivy. Ivy College, that is, in the town of Ivy, USA. As you enter the gate of Ivy College, you enter a world that is dedicated to the principle, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The town of Ivy is not far from the college itself, but even so, transportation is a problem. Therefore, it would not seem to be exceptional that a professor gives a lift to one of his students. But apparently for Linda Matthews, a sophomore at Ivy, riding with Peter Russo, new, young professor at Ivy, is a lift in more ways than one. A fact which does not go unnoticed by Doc Fish, the barber, a combination one-man radar and communication system when it comes to scandal, and also a skillful man with the scissors, who at the moment is working on one of his steady customers, Dr. William Todhunter Hall, president of Ivy.
Beats me. I just don't know how to get away with it. Yes, sir, you never know, do you? That's the second time this week. How much do you want off the top, Dr. Hall?
Oh, just as usual. Enough to make it appear that it hasn't been cut.
I guess you didn't know what you were letting yourself in for when you hired this new professor of yours, this Russo fellow.
Oh, didn't I?
The trouble with him is he's too good looking.
Professors are not judged by their masculine pulchritude, Mr. Fish. And our faculty members need not qualify for Mr. America.
Well, what goes on the campus is your job, I suppose. I've been called a gossip just once too often, so from now on I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
The idea has considerable merit.
But if I wanted to talk, I could tell you stuff about this Professor Russo that'd make your hair stand on end.
Well, it might cut better that way, but I'd sooner you tried it out on someone else first.
All right. I've made up my mind not to say a word anyway. And if you don't mind this Professor Russo fellow setting himself up as a regular Romeo, it's none of my affair. But if I were running this university, I know what I'd do.
I envy you, knowing how to run your own job as well as mine. I can only run my own.
Dr. Hall, this is much too serious a matter to just dismiss. I mean, we can't just laugh it off. It's crucial. I dashed right over.
Well, I won't dismiss it until I've heard it, Mr. Wellman, and I won't laugh it off until I've heard the joke.
This is no joke. It's a scandal. While I don't believe in soiling my hands, I mean my ears, with a lot of back fence rumors, how are we going to clean it up until we get all the dirt? I mean, the details, so that we can evaluate the...
Mr. Wellman, what in or out of this world are you trying to say?
Mrs. Hall. Do you know what this precious Professor Russo of yours, Dr. Hall, that I never, whom you insisted on bringing here against, do you know what he's been up to?
Russo, I know that both you and I had haircuts today.
Well, then, what are you going to do about it? Haircuts, what's that got to do about? And who told you I got my haircut?
Oh, no one told me. But what I'd like to know is whether you told Doc Fish or he told you what you're going to tell me about Professor Russo.
Oh, so you do know, then.
No, I don't know anything. But I was exposed to an innuendo this afternoon.
Couldn't somebody let me in on this, or do I have to go and get a crew cut?
Mrs. Hall, Ivy is threatened by a juicy, a real scandal.
Are you sure you don't mean scandalmonger?
I mean that Professor Russo, and why we have to send all the way to Europe for a Latin teacher when we have plenty of our own right here. Well, that's neither here nor there. The point is that he's been going out. With a girl.
Just as a layman on such things, are they hanging men for that now? I mean, I always understood that fraternizing between the sexes was quite fashionable.
Well, of course, fraternizing. But Mrs. Hall, this is a sophomore. She's a girl.
You seem to be convinced that your information is correct, I suppose. You are prepared to present adequate proof.
Dr. Hall, might I suggest that you direct your investigation to the people involved? Her name is Linda Matthews.
Linda Matthews?
No, I don't think I know.
You mean you don't know about her? And after all, we're all interested in keeping the good name of Ivy above reproach, aren't we?
Yes, but can we do it by listening to a lot of bubbles from a fish?
Particularly one who will snap at any bait.
Well, I just wanted to save you from any embarrassment that might result from your innocence or ignorance.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wellman. That's very kind of you.
Don't mention it, Dr. Hall. It's the least I can do. Eternal vigilance, you know.
Goodbye.
No thanks. Spoil my appetite. Goodbye.
bet you he's going home to burn his scandal at both ends. Thank you, Alice. Dinner will be ready in about 15 minutes, Mrs. Hall. Oh, Dr. Hall, I found this near your desk this morning. Thought it might be important, particularly after I read it.
That's odd.
What's odd, Toddy?
5 on Prince D in the 3rd.
Well, I'd no idea you were a secret gambler. How very dashing. I may give you a riverboat for Christmas.
Well, I'll start growing sideburns tomorrow.
Yeah, how did Prince D do in the 3rd?
Well, that's what puzzles me. I don't remember making this note.
And whose handwriting is it in, may I ask?
Oh, it's mine, definitely mine. That's what's so baffling. 5 on Prince D in the 3rd.
Maddening, isn't it? Right in the tip of the tongue.
It's not even at the back of my mind.
I felt like giving Mr. Wellman a piece of my mind just now. Him and his dock fish. I bet you he stayed for a manicure and a shampoo just so he could get every scrap of misinformation.
Well, Dogfish never had a more receptive ear.
No. What's so awful about a professor having a mild romantic interest in one of his students?
Well, for one thing, there's Mrs. Rousseau.
I didn't know there was a Mrs. Rousseau.
Oh, not that he kept it secret, darling. She stayed behind in Europe until he got settled here at Ivy. She arrives next month.
Does Mr. Wellman know?
Oh, if he had known, he would have dashed in here with the lather still on his chin. In any case, Professor Rousseau is too intelligent a man to jeopardize his position here.
Well, he's very attractive. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the entire class hadn't got a bit of a crush on him.
It's probably just a small breeze stirred up by a couple of windbags.
Yeah. Daydreaming again? Oh, hi, Ruth. Where were you, anyway? Still riding around in that dreamy sports job of Professor Rousseau's?
What? Oh, no, just thinking.
My, you two certainly seem to have a lot in common. All those big discussions after class. What do you talk about, anyway? Latin?
Oh, well, he's interested in lots of other things.
Oh, he is? Well, for instance.
Well, let me think.
People, books, art.
He's been to so many different countries, and, well, he makes you feel like you're right there when he talks about them. He's such a brilliant man.
And he tells you all this after class?
Oh, well,
oh, you don't mean you dated him, Linda?
Oh, well, I wouldn't call it that, Ruth.
Oh, but you have dated him?
Oh, well, you date college boys. Well, this is different.
Well.
Sports. Here we are. Racing results. 3rd race. No Prince D in the 3rd. Think if I dreamt all this. Can you bet on a nightmare?
Yoo-hoo! Johnny!
Hello!
Hello, darling. Did you have lunch?
Yes, dear. Ham on rice, eat on desk. Did you?
Yes, with Mrs. Merriweather. Toddy, you wouldn't call her a gossip, would you?
Oh, no, indeed. No, for traffic in rumors, she's a dead-end street. Why?
Well, she told me the same story about Professor Rousseau. And she didn't get it from Doc Fish or Mr. Wellman either. A close friend of Linda Matthews told her. A girl called Ruth Cheswick.
Well, having engaged Professor Rousseau myself over Mr. Wellman's protests, both my judgment and the professor's reputation are at stake. As my old friend Gerald of Tuscany says, character is a strong man's armor. But it can be tarnished by the clammy touch of gossip. I think I should have a talk with Miss Cheswick.
And now to return to the halls of Ivy, where we find Alice, the hall's housekeeper, ushering in Ruth Cheswick, summoned by Dr. Hall, who is curious to know more about her role in the Linda Matthews, Professor Rousseau rumored romance.
Dr. Hall's busy at the moment. You just take a seat, Miss Cheswick. Won't be long.
Thank you. Have you any idea what he wants to see me about?
Dr. Hall hasn't talked it over with me. No.
Approximately 1 minute of OTR missing here.
Are you still waiting, Miss Cheswick? Oh, I guess I was a little early, Mrs. Hall. I was just checking my time by your clock.
Oh.
Grandfather hasn't told anybody the time for years. For him, it's always 3:22.
And I hope I've made my position quite clear, Dr. Hall. Goodbye.
Oh. Oh, hello, Mrs. Fullerton.
Goodbye, Mr. Wellman.
Ah, Miss Cheswick?
Yes.
Good. Should we go into the living room? Come and sit here, Miss Cheswick. I don't think we need take up much of your time.
Well, I have plenty of time, Dr. Hall. I was just trying to figure out what I did that got me into hot water.
Well, it's just something you said to Mrs. Merriweather that had us puzzled.
Mrs. Merriweather? Why, I can't think of anything that...
It concerned one of your classmates, Linda Matthews, and her relationship with Professor Russo. Now, does that help you?
That? Why, yes. I just happened to see Professor Russo drive by in that dreamy sports car of his with... If I thought I'd be making any trouble for Linda, I never would have opened my mouth.
Is that all there was that led you to believe he...
I've seen her get out of his car lots of times, and we're always having big discussions after class, and after all, he gave her his very own copy of Horace.
I see. He gave her a book.
Well, his name was right there on the flyleaf. Well... Linda told me all about it herself.
Linda told you?
Of course. That's all she ever talks about, how wonderful he is. At first, I thought she was just bragging, and I couldn't imagine why the professor would bother with... But, well, after I saw them together, well, does she date any of the boys on the campus? Oh, no. They think she's an awful grind. She never joins in or anything. She's the quiet type.
For the quiet type, she seems to have been remarkably garrulous. Do you know Professor Russo well?
Oh, I'm in his class, but, well, I'm just a face in the mob. Actually, I don't know what I'm doing there, except that he's a pretty terrific teacher, Dr. Hall.
At least we can agree on that. Well, thank you for coming over, Miss Cheswick.
Yes, it's been most enlightening.
You mean I can go now? That's all?
Oh, yes, that's quite enough.
Oh. I hope I haven't spoken out of turn.
No, it was your turn.
Goodbye, Dr. Hall.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mrs. Hall.
Goodbye, Miss Cheswick. Oh, I wonder how she manages to get her gloves on there with her sharp little claws.
Probably wears boxing gloves. Chatterboxing gloves. Well, there's obviously only one thing to do. Call up Professor Russo and speak to him man to man. Instead of president to schoolgirl.
Darling, I wouldn't. Not just yet. Until we know more about it. I mean, we don't want to embarrass him. I tell you what. Let me go and see Linda Matthews. Right now.
That's a very good idea. Thank you, darling. Consider yourself sworn in as my deputy. Raise your right hand. Do you swear?
Very little.
Then be on your way, deputy, so that I may.
I've got to talk to you.
Is something wrong?
Plenty, and you're right in the middle of it. Listen, I just spent a pretty grueling half hour over on the hot seat at the powerhouse.
Why? What did you do?
I listened to you, that's what. You're in a mess, and so is your dream boy.
What do you mean?
Very simple. One, Dr. Hall and Mrs. Hall know all about you and your precious professor. Two, Mr. Wellman is hollering about having him kicked off the staff. And three... You're more of a fool than I thought you were. Playing around with a married man.
Married?
A little late now to play injured innocence. What I want to know is, where do you go from here?
Feeling well, but she let me come up anyway. I'm Victoria Hall.
Mrs. Hall. Why, but she shouldn't.
May I come in?
Of course. Please do. I'm sorry. I hope you'll excuse the mess.
Oh, of course. I didn't come up here on an inspection tour. I'm just a belated welcoming committee of one. I'm surprised I haven't seen you at some of the college social activities.
Oh, well, I like to study. Besides, I've never been very good at that group activity kind of thing.
Oh, come on. We can't have a college for one, you know.
Well, I'm not very good with people. I
guess I just find it easier to talk to myself.
The trouble with talking to yourself is that it has a strong tendency to make other people talk about you. That is why I really came here. Some other people are talking about you. And Professor Russo.
How could they?
This is a pretty compact little community. And it's not just covered with ivy. We have some flourishing grapevines, too.
What are they saying?
I think you can guess what they're saying. The thing is, it's going to be very damaging for Professor Russo. Unless we can prove that it's all a pack of nonsense.
Well, Mrs. Hall, it's all because I...
Well, I know it's very difficult to talk about a personal matter like this. But, you know, gossip dies a very quick death if you stand up to it face to face.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I can't. I just can't.
Well, give it some thought, Linda. If you run away now, you're going to leave everybody in the dark and Professor Russo in a very bad light. Yes, darling, I saw her. She was packing. I think she's running away.
Did she give any reason?
No, but she's miserable and frightened. The moment I mentioned Russo's name, that was enough. I hope what I said will make her stop and think, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, this certainly sounds more like guilt than gossip. Now I must get hold of Russo. Right away. Goodbye, darling. Glad you could get here so quickly, Professor Russo. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
A little matter has come up in connection with one of your students, Linda Matthews.
Linda? She's one of the most intelligent girls in my class. I hope she's not in trouble.
A little group of gossip mongers has been tossing your reputation around rather vigorously, implying that you and Linda Matthews have something more in common than Latin verbs.
Dr. Hall, this is ridiculous. Linda Matthews is a sensitive, imaginative girl, one with a great curiosity to learn. Naturally, I'm interested in her, but I assure you only as a student.
I understand. Can you think of any particular incident that might have been misinterpreted?
Well, I have loaned her some of my books. I have driven her into town in my car. But who could think anything of that?
But in a small town such as Ivy, there are always a few imaginative finger pointers.
I see. And the pointed finger can sometimes leave a smudge. This is very disturbing, Dr. Hall, but I...
Excuse me, Dr. Hall. There's a student outside, Alinda Matthews. She says it's urgent. Do you want to see her?
Yes, I certainly do. Have her wait just a moment.
Yes, sir.
Do you want me to leave?
No, but would you mind waiting in here for just a few minutes?
Very well, sir.
I may need you later. Come in, Miss Matthews.
Thank you, Dr. Hall. I'm sorry I didn't call first, but I...
Come and sit down. Now.
Miss Hall came to see me this afternoon.
Yes, I know.
She made me realize that I couldn't leave Ivy without explaining something. So I've been trying to find the courage to come to see you.
Well, it's always worth looking for, and I'm glad you found it.
Oh, I made such a mess of everything. But it isn't true, none of it. I made up that whole silly story about Professor Russo and me. I just never seemed to know the right things to say to most people, and he was so nice to me and so easy to talk to.
Once you've started the story, you have to keep on making it better. Is that it?
Yes, sir. And it got all out of hand. Professor Russo didn't have anything to do with it. It was me.
Well, there's nothing wrong with daydreaming in itself. We all dramatize ourselves a little. But we must be careful whom we cast for the other roles. Now, you were putting a man's whole career in jeopardy.
But I never knew he was married until today. Why, I would have never dared to have... Oh, I'm so sorry. That doesn't help anything now. What can I do?
Well, you've already done one thing. You've told the truth. You're over your biggest hurdle, so why run away now?
Could I ever possibly face Professor Russo again? I'd just die.
I don't think you would. No, running away isn't the answer. It's too easy a way out. Will you excuse me for a moment? She made the whole thing up.
Probably out of loneliness.
Yes, loneliness can create many a daydream of glory. And your being nice to her was all she needed to transform you into a knight on a white horse.
I see. And now she's terribly embarrassed.
Yes, she feels she can never face you again. But I think we can show her that one way to cope with a difficult situation is to pretend it never existed.
Which it never did.
No. I'm sorry to keep you waiting.
Hello, Linda.
Hello, Professor Russo.
I wanted to talk with you. I just finished reading your term paper on Pliny. You know, Dr. Hall, I think Miss Matthews has managed to put a good deal of life into an author who wrote in a dead language.
Well, that's fine. And a first-rate reporter, Pliny. Teacher writer, too, not a gossip columnist.
Very good. I hadn't thought of it that way. Do you mind if I borrow that approach for my next lecture?
Professor, you're welcome to all my approaches, especially those on the golf course.
I only wish all of my students had Linda's appreciation for those ancient Roman scribes.
Ah, you see, you're a very important young lady.
Thank you, Dr. Hall. Thank you. Thank you, Professor.
That's all right, Linda. I have my car outside. Could I give you a lift?
No, I think I'd better walk. About time I got my feet on the ground. Thank you again, Dr. Hall.
Good luck.
In a moment, we'll return to the Halls of Ivy.
So, you see, Professor Russo was the innocent victim of imaginary circumstances. And just one more thing, Mr. Wellman. Were you, by any chance, the one who gave me the tip about betting $5 on a horse named Prince D?
Of course not. I never heard such... What was that again? Prince what?
Prince D in the third.
Prince D in the third. Well, thank you, Dr. Hall. Thank you very much.
What's Mr. Wellman got to say? I bet he feels cheated. Probably had his firing squad all lined up and loaded, ready to mow down the lovers at dawn, and then the sun never came up.
I try to put him straight, but he still thinks there's something fishy.
Well, if there's anything rotten in Denmark, he'll find it.
Oh, yes, my dear. It's Denmark. That's it, Prince of Denmark. Five on Prince D in the third. I'm due at 5 o'clock in Professor Grosvenor's English class to give a talk on the third act of Hamlet.
Oh, Charlie, then it wasn't a horse at all. It was a great day.